Hey, welcome to Talk of the Town with John Adams on this post-election Wednesday. Boy, it wasn't much of a barn burner yesterday, was it? Looked like Trump led wire to wire, but that's not what's important. What's important is the election is over, and regardless of what side of the aisle you fall on, we're all in this together. You know, I've said it before on my show that personally I think that our government doesn't work to our benefit regardless of who's in office. And I think that whoever's in office, we need to make sure that we're vigilant and ask for accountability. And believe it or not, that is all I have to say on the issue. You know, Trump is the president as far as I know. I'm an American. I live in the United States. So guess what? He's the president. That's what I got to live with. So with that, we're off and running. I want to talk about, as you guys know, I am the president of Dynasty Elite Athletic. It's a youth football league that plays state-to-state games. They play out of state. And two of our teams have qualified to play in national tournaments, one in Tennessee and one in Ohio. And so congratulations to those two teams. But I want to ask you guys, the athletes have to raise money to support this endeavor. And we've almost reached our goal. We still have a couple thousand to go before this weekend. I'm confident we'll get there. But if you would, any little bit helps, reach out on Facebook to Dynasty Elite Athletic and help these athletes bring home a championship. And with that, we're off and running. We're not going to spend too much time because I have with me a group of people that are not only doing amazing things in the community, that are actually amazing people in the community. So I have MJ here with the Children's Legacy Foundation. Now, did I say that right?
Legacy Children's Foundation.
See, I told you, it's going to be a tongue twister all day for me, but the people who know, they will say, hey, at least he got all the letters right.
Well, I'd think of it this way as an acronym, LCF, Love Children Forever.
Love Children Forever. That
Legacy
works for me.
Legacy Children's Foundation.
So, in addition, we have Todd Birch, the former principal at South High. He is in, are you the director?
Executive
director. And then to my left, I have Tika and Mary. And so they have actually benefited probably the most and have the most to say on this subject. Welcome to the show. We're going to dive right in, ladies. How are you feeling today?
Feeling great and grateful that we have this opportunity to share our story with everyone.
You know, one of the things that happens, by the way, welcome. One of the things that happens that I believe is that we can get wrapped up so much in what's going on in the day-to-day. You know, whether it's social media, whether it's sports, and we forget that we live in a great part of the world. Okay, I used to say we used to live in a great city. But I'm convinced that if you went anywhere in the world, you're not going to find better people than you have in Fargo. And I say we have our differences, we have our issues. But like I was talking to you guys at the beginning of the show, for me, a kid who came up here to play football at Morehead State with basically a steamer trunk with all my belongings in it, and now I'm on the radio, I have a couple businesses, I married the prettiest girl in the county. All of these things Fargo gave me. But along the way, there were people that were instrumental in helping me get to where I am today. And that's unique because I can tell you that that doesn't exist everywhere. So these are the things that I like to talk about. This is why we're on the show. We're going to start with you, MJ. Let's talk about the origins of the Legacy Foundation.
Yeah, so the Legacy Children's Foundation was started through the ideas of young people that were in my middle school class at Ben Franklin Middle School back in 2010. And they moved on to high school and found high school very difficult. Not because they didn't want to succeed, but because they didn't have the resources and relationships with people and after school assets to be able to do well in their classes in high school. And so we looked at just scratching out on paper one day at my house what it is that was causing them difficulty. And as new American teenagers, language was the root of one of their issues and the sense of belonging. So language and belonging really were tripping these kids up. So how do we fix that? What do we do? And that really launched us into trying this in 2011 with a group of 11 kids from Fargo North, and I left my teaching job just to see if it would work, and we've been off and running ever since. So that's really how it started. We focus on learning, serving, and leadership so that young people can become educated servant leaders.
So when you say we, who's the we? I know it's you and your husband.
Yes, and then a group of 11 kids from Fargo North. And Ben Franklin really forged the way to see what we needed to do, how we needed to do it, and got the ball running. Yeah,
that's pretty nice to know that you have those things. But I like the fact that you saw a need. You know, I always tell people, look, everybody, anybody can complain about it, but are you doing something to fix it? Are you being actionable? And so this is a perfect example of somebody that said, you know what, it's not enough to teach. We need to figure out how we can make these young people successful. How can we get, and that sense of belonging, you know, when our young people don't feel a part of the community, that's when we lose them.
Exactly.
You know? And so the fact that you eyeballed that, you identified it, and you did something that actionable is outstanding. So I'm going to shift over to you, young ladies. So let's talk about your path into the Legacy Children's Foundation.
I first joined the program back in 2012. I knew MJ growing up. She was always out and about in our neighborhood and very involved at the elementary school that I attended. And so I always knew MJ. Everyone knew MJ, actually. My older brother was first in the program, so I heard about it from him. And then I enrolled when I was in sixth grade. And I was in the program until I graduated high school in 2018. And ever since I graduated, I was still involved in some capacity, whether I was an academic coach or worked part-time in the summers helping with service projects. And then I came back, and I'm working full-time as the Dean of Students. And so I'm very grateful because I was able to grow as a student, but also as a citizen by being in the program. And then I got to give back, and now I'm able to share my time with the students and teach them what I've learned from the program. And it feels really good because a lot of them look up to me because they're like me. They've been through the same struggle, so I can share the lessons that I've learned and hopefully help them in their journey also.
Right, and there's nothing better than mentoring, is there?
Mm-hmm, nothing.
I mean, you take somebody who's maybe unsure of themselves, and then you relate your story, and next thing you know, you see them start to thrive. Mm-hmm. And you also think about your own situation where you were in that, and you can identify exactly with where they're at, mm-hmm. right? And there's something about it. You know, I say, for me, having sought my fortune, and I've done okay, I'm not rich or anything like that, but, you know, when you get to a certain point in life, I always say that there's the give back portion, you know, where if people help you succeed, that you need to give back. And my dad was a minister, and I was involved in the church, and my parents were involved in community activism in Minneapolis. And so I grew up with that idea that you have to be of service. Now, growing up with that idea and putting it into the principle actually didn't happen until I was about 30. But here, you young ladies, and I'm not going to ask your age because we're not supposed to do that, evidently, but to hear you guys be involved in the community, this is what gives me hope that Fargo will remain what I know it to be, which is a great community. So, Ms. Tika, let's talk about your foray into Legacy Children's Foundation.
Okay. So, I joined in sixth grade. My brother, Rohit, he joined in seventh grade. And during his middle school year, he was going to Carl Ben Allison. And for him, school was going tough because we came from refugee camp. And, you know, life in the refugee camp, there's like no opportunities. And so my parents thought, we have to come to America. And so we started in school. After 2 months, we came to America. And I was in kindergarten, and my brother, he got placed into second grade. And I feel like the roots of education, learning, speaking, writing, it starts in kindergarten and first grade. That's when it's one-on-one teacher and student time. But second grade is more like self. You have to do it by yourself, kind of. And so my brother, he missed those two main roots of education. And school was a struggle for him. And in middle school, he got to do MJ, because one of the teachers was talking about legacy and how it helps students who are struggling in school be successful, have confidence, and strive to be a better person. And so my brother joined Legacy in seventh grade, and through his perspective, I got to know Legacy. And I also joined in sixth grade, and starting years in Legacy, because I was such an introverted and a shy kid growing up, whenever like MJ used to give out any opportunities to me, my brain would always say, I do not want to be alone. Because I was that kind of kid who was like introverted. I never wanted to be alone. I just wanted to have someone. I wanted a friend to talk to.
I want you to hold on to that thought. Mm-hmm. I've got Big Game James in my ear. We have to go to break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about not wanting to be alone and the projects that you worked on with MJ that helped you move forward. This is John Adams for Talk of the Town. If you want to call in, the phone number is 701-293-9000. Hey, welcome back to Talk of the Town with John Adams. We were having such a good time. I didn't notice that our 30 seconds was up. Welcome back. We're here with the folks from the Legacy Children's Foundation talking about an organization that I heard about. I didn't really understand what it was, but I got a master class through talking to MJ, talking to Todd Birch, and now these young ladies to my left, Mary and Tika. Tika, you were talking about projects and being an introvert and how being in the Legacy Children's Foundation changed the way you view things. So go ahead and continue. You were talking about how you were kind of, you know.
Yeah, so like I said, in middle school, so 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, whenever MJ used to give me any opportunities to learn, to serve, and to lead, because those are like our three core values of Legacy, to learn, to serve, and to lead in our community. My main answer would be no, or I would either not reply, because my mindset would be, I don't want to be alone. But I want to tell everyone that Legacy makes an impact. Legacy has made an impact in me, because I was an introverted kid who said, I do not want to be alone. And so I never said yes to any opportunities. But because Legacy has made an impact in my life, I am a junior at South High right now. And now my mindset says whenever I get any opportunities in life, I say, it's okay that I am alone. I am loved. I am valued. I have Mary Jane Dean with me, and I have the Legacy Children's Foundation. I have to step up because the elderly people, they look up to us youth. I have to learn. I have to serve, and I have to lead in my community.
That is fantastic. I'm sitting here, and I'm just, you know, one of the things that happens in our society is people always talk about the TikTok generation. You know, all they're doing is doing TikTok dances, and, you know, they're all about social media and that type of thing. And I'm sitting here with you young ladies, and I'm just in awe of you because this is what I'm talking about, you know. TikToking is not even close to your world. It might be about 5% of what you do in terms of your daily life. But to hear the media tell it, and I always laugh because I'm evidently part of the media, that's all you guys do is sit around and think of a TikTok dance. And just listening to you guys talk about how you've evolved within the Legacy Children's Foundation is amazing to me, because I think as this podcast goes out, as radio show goes out, I think that now people are really going to get a sense, because we've lost that where people think that there aren't entities that are doing great things in the community. I'm going to shift a little bit because we've got to bring in the executive director at least for a second. I'm sorry that this show isn't more about you, but, you know, we have to talk about why we do things, okay? And the Legacy Children's Foundation is solely focused on youth. You know, it's focused on moving you guys forward. And so we need to hold these entities up and say, hey, look, you know, if you think that Fargo is going by the wayside or it's not as great as it should be, we don't need to look any further than the Legacy Foundation. So much so that an educator who, I don't know if you were there for over 30 years, it seemed like you were there a long time, but to me, it had to be a great situation for you to leave South, because I know how much South meant to you, and I know how much you meant to the community, the South community. And so we won't get into your transition, but what piqued your interest and ultimately made you decide to move to Legacy? Yeah.
Well, thanks, John, for having us on today. It's an honor and a privilege to be part of the organization that certainly I get to step into after much of the hard work has already been done by MJ and the students. As you know, John, in education, we're always looking for opportunities to be able to take another step, to be able to help where there's great opportunities, great need. And in this situation that was presented to me, I have a great way in which I can continue still being connected, not necessarily through the four walls in a school, but certainly in an after-school program in which, as you've heard, takes on the opportunities to be able to assist in the development of leadership, service, and also learning, certainly right. Learning taking that priority of this as well. One thing I do want to say as well, too, about the Legacy Children's Foundation is that it is connected to 12 different schools in our area. We have middle schools. We have high schools from Fargo, West Fargo, Shanley, and also Park Christian students that are represented on a daily basis. So not only are the students engaging on an individual basis, but they're also working collectively, collaboratively with one another in small groups, working in large group activities as well as the small groups, like I said, to be able to accomplish, first of all, their learning pieces, and then how to work together, how to do service projects, how to be able to be speakers, as we have here with both Mary and Tika, and to be able to feel confident in the skills that perhaps might not always be present, as Tika indicated, to be able to have them step into those unfamiliar areas.
Well, I want to thank you first of all, I want to thank you guys for being on the show, but also, you know, Todd and I are neighbors, and I feel a certain sort of, I won't say kinship, but I love the guy because it to me, it's always been about the kids, and it's always been about community, and so I want to thank you for everything you did at South, as well as everything that you're doing now. With that, we're going to shift gears because some of the things that the Legacy Children's Foundation, it's not like you guys just go and you're there. There are various things that take place. So one of the headings that I have here is impact, and so it says Legacy Children's Foundation provides personalized educational support, service learning, engagement, hands-on leadership roles to equip teens to graduate and achieve their unique potential. What does that mean to you guys when you hear those words? And how did that come about in terms of being in Legacy?
Legacy, I think, provides a lot of resources that a lot of the students, parents can't necessarily provide themselves just because they don't have the connections in the community or the academic language or the financial stability to do so. So Legacy helps bridge that gap. So the first thing that they did provide, and that's very helpful from my experience, but I would say for most of our students, is the academic coaching. So what that entails is Legacy hires local university students from the Fargo and Moorhead colleges, and they work with their students 2 hours after school, Monday through Thursday, throughout the school year. And they assist students with their homework. They also are able to build relationships with the students. So it's more than just the academic piece of it. It's about being a leader and just helping them guide them through the challenges they're facing.
Wow, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. And so in terms of leadership training, what are some of the things you did when it came to leadership training?
So for me, the main, I think, for me was public speaking, because I was very introverted, like I said. And so after this one trip, when I went to Medora as a chaperone for the middle schoolers, it changed me, and it changed my mindset to say yes. And after I said yes to my opportunities, MJ helped me gain my confidence. Because even being here and talking right now, I never thought I could ever do this. It's because MJ helped me gain that confidence. And now I have that confidence in me. And now my heart says I can do it. And so I am here, and not just here talking, But even like sharing my stories in front of other people, I'm confident to do that. And so, yeah. So for leadership, Legacy focuses on every youth because, you know, like how I said, kindergarten and first grade is the education route. Those students who are missing those education routes, Legacy provides that. That's why our first core value is learning. So first we learn, and for leadership too. If a leader does not have a stable root, if a leader does not have like a confident and enough root, then that leader can lead astray the followers, right? And so just like that, Legacy values learning. So when we learn, when we're confident, we serve. And with all of that, we all lead. Because leading is very impactful, and it impacts the kids and every people who are in our community.
Wow. Those are amazing words. James says we're up against the break again. We're at the bottom of the hour. If you want to call in, the phone number is 701-29000. Or you can email studio@wdoiradio.com. Okay. James is on the wheels of steel rolling out that 70s funk vibe. Welcome back to Talk of the Town with John Adams. I'm here with Mary and Tika, and let's not forget MJ and Todd. But I want the focus to be on these young ladies because you guys are extraordinary. You know, I'm very impressed with you guys. So let's talk about one of the components of LCF is leadership. Okay? And under here, it says that we reflect optimism, gratitude, humility, and a growth mindset to be bold drivers of positive change. We lead by example. What does that mean to you guys?
I think Legacy really stretches the youth out of their comfort zone, because it's not common for the youth to be considered leaders, but Legacy really does a great job of growing the kids up. So then later on, when they do enter the future, they can be a leader within the community or in their work, wherever they are, whatever they do in their future. So Legacy does provide many opportunities for students to practice being a leader, to get up in front of a group of adults and public speak, like Tika mentioned earlier. And another thing that Legacy does that not other organizations do is they actually allow students to be on the board. When do you ever hear youth being on a board of an organization? And I think that's a very unique thing that Legacy does provide, and it will instill something within them. So I don't know. I just love that aspect of the program a lot.
So I have to ask you a question. You know, when I was growing up, children were seen and not heard. And now I'm hearing that it's almost a requirement that you guys are heard. And so when we talk about leadership, what is your favorite leadership moment?
I would have to say the first thing I can think of my leadership moment was back in sixth grade. Because that's the very first time when I had to get up and speak. And just thinking about who I was as a person at that time, I was also a quiet person. And I had a group of girls that I would always just follow and I would do what they do and didn't really have a voice of my own. So I think after that day, I had the confidence to speak up when I wanted to.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. You found your voice. Mm-hmm. And so, Tika, what was your favorite leadership moment?
So for me, it was like our recent one, which was Voices of Impact. And so in that, I was one of the keynote speaker. So I was sharing my story. And to me, my story is like, it's like who I am. And in that story, I had three values, which was family, faith, and legacy. Because of those three values, it has shaped me to become the person that I am today. And so, yeah, that time, doing the Voices of Impact, it helped me realize that my stories are in me and that hundreds of people, they are there to support me and they want to hear my story because they love me and that I am valued. Yeah.
Right. You guys are valued. You guys talk about public speaking and it's not easy. I mean, I actually had to take a course in college to learn how to public speak. And the first time you're standing in front of a podium in front of an audience, I mean, you almost go blank, you know, but then you rely on your training. You usually have a great support system there, and you look at that person, and then it's like, this is what I'm here for. And you rip it off, and it's fantastic. Did you guys do any job shadowing?
Yes, I did a couple when I was in the program. And thinking about it, I did stuff that has nothing to relate with Legacy now. I think I went to an orthodontist, physical therapy, because I used to think that I wanted to work in the health field, just because I knew I wanted to help people, but I didn't know in what area.
Right.
I was a little lost back then. After seeing that and being able to work with Legacy, I just knew this was my path.
Right.
And so I'm glad I did figure it out, and I'm here now.
Well, one of the things, I helped build a work-based learning platform in the city of Fargo, West Fargo. And what I learned was we need to have people do things at an early age. If for nothing else, if you continue on in education, you know what you don't want. You know, we hear the stories all the time where people take a gap year or they take an extra year to figure out what they want to do through these job shadow experiences. You found that, well, maybe that's not my path. And so for you, Tika, what were your job shadow opportunities?
So from Legacy, since I'm more focused on nursing, we went to this Concordia one where we just talked about like how school is there in Concordia.
Mm-hmm.
And even from my school, we went to M State and like how college is there and for nursing. So for me, more of my job shadow is based on like nursing field.
Right.
And like in November 11th, I have another job shadow from health science.
Okay.
And that's for like daycare.
Okay.
Since I like working with kids too.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. So financial aid and building human capital. And I'm gonna put this to MJ. When you talk about building human capital, what does that mean? Caught you off guard.
Yeah. So building human capital, it's like for us, we know that our kids come to Legacy feeling like they don't have worth, value. And so building human capital means we're trying to expose them to their inner goodness, but also connecting them to capital, human capital outside of what they know as their circle now, to expand who they know and who in the social network of Legacy and our community can we get them connected to so that they continue to build relationships and human capital, people, relationships that can help mentor and develop our youth, because we can't do it alone.
Outstanding. And I like that, because it's not just academics, it's not just the job portion, but you're building viable citizens and community. And I always told my sons that, you know, a dad's requirement is to build you up so when you're 18 you can go out and be a good citizen in the community. You know, and now I'm hearing that is part of the structure of Legacy. And it feels so family-based, you know. And I don't want to say it's filling in gaps, but in a way you are. Mm-hmm. So if there's something that's not a need that's not being met, Legacy is meeting that need. And we don't care why it's not being met. The point is that this is what makes great human beings in the community. So I want to get to this, because it says to qualify to be on the Legacy team, it says receives free and reduced meals at school, scores below 50% on the MAP in reading or math, has a 2.0 GPA or below, or extenuating life circumstances that makes it difficult for the teen to succeed. Youth joining Legacy cannot be on an IEP plan. And so what I like about this is I was never a great student, okay? And I'm not even going to tell you guys what my GPA was in college, because my sons would throw – there would be a mutiny. Let's just say that. But I had the learning disability that I didn't know about till I was 49 years old, okay? And two of them. And so, you know, I was one of these kids, and I was looking at that, and I was thinking to myself, you know, we always have things for kids that do well. You know, we always have the academic scholarships. We always have the citizenship award for, you know, that popular kid that does everything right. But the fact that you're focusing on kids that need help, okay, that maybe aren't at that level, I think that's what makes this extraordinary, because you're seeing the value of people that maybe they haven't seen in themselves.
Right.
And so for me, I'm like, wow, this, I would have qualified for quite a few of those criteria. Yeah. I would have been in the program.
But I can explain a little bit to John from the beginning how that got started. The 11 students that came to me to say we need to do something different to change our path, because we're on the path for dropping out of high school, and that's not what we want. And so those that set of criteria really came from the kids. We wanted to focus on kids who weren't getting extra resources in school and who didn't have a safety network there. And so that's how that started. They don't, kids today don't need to have all four of those criteria.
Right.
Three out of four or two out of the four. If some professional says this kid belongs in Legacy, let's give him a chance.
Well, I can tell you I had three out of four. But I'll tell you what. So Big Game James says we're already up against a break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up with the Legacy Children's Foundation. We're going to talk about how, if you want to be involved, we're going to talk about if you want to contribute donations, and we're going to wrap up with Marion Tika. If you want to call in, the phone number is 701-293-9000, or you can email studio at wdayradionow.com. Welcome to the show, gentlemen. Hey, welcome back to Talk of the Town with John Adams. I'm here with four individuals from the Legacy Children's Foundation, MJ, Todd Birch, Mary, and Tika. And so we have been talking about the Legacy Children's Foundation and what they bring to our community. And the overriding theme that I have for the day is that they take young people and they teach them and nurture them and how to be great, you know, how to move the needle in their lives. And a part of that is there's an accountability piece. So you just don't get to get in the program. There are expectations, right? There are metrics that you have to hit. Along those lines, there had to be some struggles, right? What would you say was the biggest thing, that the hurdle that you had to get over in joining Legacy?
So for me, I feel like it was like stepping out, because I was such a home person. My life before I joined Legacy was basic, which was going to school, then coming home, studying, eating, sleeping, and going back to school.
Okay.
Such a basic life. But then I joined Legacy, and Legacy values stepping out, you know. The community has given you a lot to the youth. You youth have to step out now. You have to give back. And to me, to step out was like one of my hardest obstacles, because I never wanted to step out. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to stay home. I wanted to be in my comfort zone. But Legacy helped me see that I must step out. So, yeah.
So they took you out of your comfort zone, mm-hmm. and you blossomed.
Yep.
And now exactly. And now you're on the radio smiling, giving great information to the community. And you know, I think listening to you young ladies, it just... You know, I always wonder what society going to be like in 10 years. And then I meet young people like you, and I think society is going to be absolutely awesome. So, Mary, what was your aha moment or that thing that you were like, I've got to overcome?
I think for me, the main thing that I had to overcome was just me, myself, beating myself up. That's still something I work on today, is like I'm so hard on myself, and I didn't really have like self-love or anything. So I think that's what it is.
You know, we didn't talk a whole lot about, well, Tika, you mentioned your brother. How has the Legacy Children's Foundation impacted your families?
So for my family, you know, my parents, they worried about my brother the most, because mm-hmm. he missed the two roots. And after he joined Legacy really helped him a lot, especially with his learning in English, speaking mm-hmm. English. Mm-hmm. So Legacy also has this, in summer school, we do reading and math. And so my brother, he also did reading and math like extra. Mm-hmm. And so that helped him. So that helped him like fill in that gap that he missed, fill in those two void in his life so that he can be perfect so that he can also lead and learn and serve and like be in a community and feel confident to speak with others. So yeah, so legacy filled in that void in his life and it helped him shine.
That's awesome. And if your brother listens to this, he's not going to let you forget that you also said he's perfect now. Right? So how has legacy impacted your family, Mary?
Legacy has helped in many ways. I would say first academically, just because my parents, they came to the U.S. in 1999, and both of my parents are uneducated. And so I needed homework help, I couldn't just go to my parents and just ask, oh, how do you do this?
So they weren't versed in traditional education?
Yes. No, not at all.
Yeah.
So on the academic side of things, the legacy has helped a lot because they made sure that you are on top of your studies just because they're always checking your grades. And then the other side of things is just getting us connected to different resources. Whenever my parents need help with anything, they know they could go to MJ too, because it's more than just legacy helping the youth. Legacy also helps parents if they need help,
right?
Too.
Well, I got to tell you, it's funny because you say that. My son was in eighth grade, and he asked me to help him with his algebra work, and his brother walked past, and he made it perfectly clear that he should wait till his mom gets home. So I identify readily with what your parents went through in terms of trying to help you with your home, because we want to help, but if we don't have the aptitude, you know. So and wrapping this up, we got to back up here. So let's talk about funding, because I found it interesting, MJ, that you raise all private money and you're not getting any state or federal assistance. And if you're servicing 12 high schools, that's a big nut that you have to come up with every year. How have you managed to do that?
Well, you've talked about this great community that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
And this great community loves children forever.
Right.
And so we're in it together, and we decided early on that if the community didn't support the work, then it was time to close the doors, because it is a community effort to raise our children, period.
Right.
And so federal grants, state grants, they're a lot of work,
mm-hmm.
and you almost need another person to maintain the grants, and that's not where we wanted to put our resources.
Right.
And so we just ask people from the community to give from your heart, help us raise up our children, and give what you can. And that's what we do. We build our fundraising on relationships.
Well, I can tell you that I hope that a lot of people view this and they understand what you guys do, because I think you guys are asset in the community. And I hope that it can get to a point where this legacy thing goes for a long time. I had something in my head I want to talk about, but that happens. So as we wrap up the show, we've got a few more minutes. The one thing that in looking at the Legacy Children Foundation is, I consider myself worldly and things mm-hmm. like that. How do people get in touch? How do people contribute? How do people find out more about Legacy?
So we have a website, legacychildrensfoundation.com. Our giving platform is through givingheartstay.org. So you can give online. You can send a check, 725 28th Street North, Fargo, 58102. We think of philanthropy as time, talents, and treasures. And so time, giving Tika, giving Mary, the gift of your presence, sharing your talents. Can you sew? Can you drive? Can you deliver groceries with us? And then, of course, money fuels mission. We can't do anything without money.
Right.
And so that's what we ask for.
So it's funny, because that was the second leg of this three-part question is, if I wanted to become involved in Legacy, you know, what opportunities are there for everyday people to get involved?
So they can come up and work with our kids on a service project. We deliver food. We make hats for the homeless. We are 3D printing objects in our 3D printing lab that are purposeful. We're working on ice scrapers right now. We pack boxes for homeless youth. We fix bikes for our neighboring shelters. So pick one. Come and help us.
Lastly, if I'm a business owner, you know, like you talk about job shadows and stuff like that, They would just call the line, call the website.
Yes.
Same process.
Same process. And we're always looking for opportunities to partner with businesses, both the job shadow, but also to help them with the workforce issues that are in our state. We Perfect. Are potential employees.
Outstanding. So I don't know if you guys can see it on the monitor, but I have a Band-Aid on my face, and I never shave up this high. So I have a Band-Aid on my face. I'm going to let the ladies explain as to why they gave me a Band-Aid and why it's on my face.
Okay, so think before you like put on that Band-Aid, think of a life of a student who's facing hardships in life and is like having this mindset of, can I graduate high school? Like, am I capable of graduating? And then we give you that bandage. And that bandage, when you put it on, like when you get like in an accident or something, you have like lots of blood there, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you put that bandage on, it kind of protects that blood. And then after like several months, when you remove it, your like wound is like gone. It's like protected. And just like that, legacy is that bandage for the lives of youth. It protects the lives of youth. And when at the end of the day, when they remove that Band-Aid, they will see that legacy has made an impact in my life. Because for me, when I remove this Band-Aid, I see that legacy has made an impact, which is why I'm here right now.
Thank you very much. I want to thank you guys for being on my show. This has been fun. I can assure you that you will be hearing more about the Legacy Children's Foundation in upcoming shows. I want to thank you guys for tuning in. This is John Adams for Talk of the Town. And as always, stay black. Yeah.